July the 14th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Islam Climate for Business Success. Lecturer, Imam W. Bin Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Governing self. So the heart is so powerful as an influence that it governs our mind. Whether we know it or not, we don't devote your mind to something until your heart is drawn to it. This free and powerful heart of ours is too much for us to manage without the help of something bigger. If the oppressed can accept that, then a new door has opened for them that was not there before. It is a door of hope. It is a door of a new perception of my own reality, a new opportunity. Persons need a perception of themselves and the perception of the reality for them in any given situation. It is the same whether you are alone with yourself or at home, with your relatives or out on the job with somebody or in the public. Your reality should be the same for you, whether it is in good circumstances or bad circumstances. Thinking now in that way should change the way you look at yourself and the exterior world, whether from love mode, fear mode, greed mode, envy mode, hate mode, or others. The free heart is dictating to human mind. So we need something to motivate us in a positive and productive way. What will motivate that intolerable percentage? We hear statistics about people who are on record as unemployed, but something should tell us those statistics are wrong if they are interrupted. Interpreted, pardon me, or read as an average one of us, read them. So when you consider your typical neighborhood, you know there is more than 50% unemployment. The record we are hearing about of those who got laid off and are waiting to be rehired, those are the unemployed figures. That does not tell you anything about the reality out there in the streets. The reality of these troubled inner cities is that unemployment runs as high as 50%. Most of the unemployed people are out of the reach of everyone. They were never on the records for being employed. Who is in touch with them and who can say that they don't have jobs. You have to see them idle and the percentage who are idle to know that they are unemployed. These are chronic unemployed. It doesn't bother them that they are unemployed. Many people come to employers to get jobs. Most of them will not be considered. When the applications are given out, many will not complete them and just get up and leave. Those will not have a chance to even get an interview. Many of those who are approved for interviews will not show up. Most of those interviews did not qualify. Their reading level was too low, or their ability to perform the tasks was not there. So they were not hired. Some will have criminal records and some will be on drugs. So who sees these victims amongst the unemployed? Are we going to demand that our government spend our taxpayers' money to create enough jobs to hire all of the unemployed? I agree that all of us should support unemployed people who are not just African Americans, for there are Hispanics and others. The sex craze and violent lifestyle is killing the positive or productive initiatives. But it is not enough just to tell you that how do we make the people fit for employment? How do we make our youth, our young men, our males in this society fit for employment? We have to convert them to a new mind, a new way of thinking, so they will have a new perception and a new way of seeing themselves and the world and of the challenges out there. So there is no other answer, but it'll be said we need a revolution. What kind of violent revolution? That is what we have out there in the streets every night and day. A violent revolution. Are we going to recruit those who are making our streets unsafe, who beat up each other and maim each other and kill each other over petty things? If you can see the reality for you as a room or house or an entity with different departments, let us take a small apartment. It has a kitchen, a bedroom, a bedroom. And a living room. What happens in any of these rooms will affect the whole apartment. So you can keep the living room beautiful. The people can come and visit you without ever seeing any other room. They will be complimenting you for keeping such lovely apartments. And you will be talking all of it. You will be taking all of it in. But if they look at you real close, they will see pain in your face. The other rooms is on your mind. It might be the bedroom or the bathroom or the kitchen. Any one of them messed up will also mess your mind. You don't want to confess, but sometimes it is good to do just that. Say, wait a minute. You to see the pile of mess in other rooms. I need help. Each focus in the mind, mind may represent a room. Each concentrated area in your mind represents a room. Race consciousness or race awareness will form a room. Unemployment and the situation for unemployment formed one room. So our own state and town and how they are performing also affects us. If any one of those concentrations of interest is out of order, it affects the whole concentration of interest is out of order. So it affects the whole mind if we have the wrong perception of material life and opportunity. If it is terribly distorted, it is going to affect the whole state of our mind. If we have the wrong attitude or a distorted picture of what reality is for race relations, it is going to do the same. So when people follow a discipline, an ideology, a philosophy, a message, a scripture, a teaching, or whatever, that offers them a discipline for their total perception, a discipline that is in competition, a total behavior system. It decides how you will look at everything when people have that. They are safe from those conditions most can't control. Most of us don't want to really do justice by an ideology or a philosophy or a message or a religion. Although I hate to say religion for the word, religion is so loose and is open to so many interpretations. We need the right perception. And if there is a system offered for your total behavior, then you are safe. The Bible said that the world was going to be destroyed, and God saved it with Noah's boat. And every living creature was put on Noah's boat. That tells worried my mind for a long time. But now I understand that it is a beautiful allegorical of a system for their salvation, a system for their behavior, and a great religion offered a behavior system. We need a behavior system for ordering perception and attitude in order to support us in good behavior. If we had a system of belief that was perceived correctly, patterned on God's universal value system, it should be able to support us and give us a situation for life and growth and prosperity. That is the idea, and it will work. It is about motivation. We need something to motivate us. Some may say, I am going to introduce my bad last child to this person for help. You take him to the finest schools and make sacrifices and put another mortgage on the house, but that doesn't work. There was no answer or any guarantee that the help of this world is going to motivate these children or the adults. There are no guarantees, but there exists a strategy and a perception that works. We can keep ourselves to what we believe in. Muslims keep the Quran and to the example of Muhammad the Prophet and keep the excellence of our faith. This is the key for every human being. Every human being is created to want better. Don't be disappointed. Disappointed and throw up your hands and give up because we can't get everybody to believe in the religion as we believe in it, to think that the way we think in the religion. Don't give up. Work on doing two things. One is to educate ourselves and Muhammad's community in the proper way. Devote ourselves to that. Do that in our homes, in our schools, and in our mosques. If you don't have such, then find a way to meet at least in your home every week and educate your community in Islam, in Quran, in the life of the prophet. That is our first concentration. However, almost of equal importance is to help better the life in these streets of America. Those lost to the streets have no interest, no faith, no desire to even accept God's help or good help. We cannot give up on them. Organizations like African American Men Against Narcotics, AA-Man in Dallas, Texas, and other urban areas are examples of what can be done to reach some of these unreachable people when those who are lost see what AA-Man is doing. Some of these unreachable people are going to be inspired. It is happening. AA-Man has had an effect. Overthrowing the burden of myth. Work on improving the perception, not just the perception of one thing, but the perception of the total reality. You won't see the results all at once, but it will be continuous and steady. When you present the Islamic perception of the total reality, all the natural laws and natural realities support that perception. You can call it scientific or whatever, but it will shelter the house of myths. Though blossoms fairy tales and non-realities. So we need to correct, educate the perception of the people. Whether you do it in the name of Islam or in the name of gospel of Jesus Christ, peace be on the prophet, whether we do it in the name of one thing or the other, work on bringing the perception of man and his external world to agree with what is fact and reality in this real support system we call the world and space. The American society is the most advanced society on earth in terms of sciences, industry, and circular world advances. But comes to religion and culture, we Americans can be amongst the most primitive people walking this planet. That affects our cultural thinking, myths, burden, perception, often does not prepare us for the challenges of reality. We can deal with small problems and can survive, but big problems eliminate us. Most now who are advocating Afrocentry or adding more confusion and more mind-locking myths. I love Africa, and I too advocate us because more aware of Africa. Since I began preaching, I have been an advocate. Don't tell any more lies. Lies have our children shooting and killing each other and not valuing their life. Don't say they are unemployed and that's why they are in that state. We were out of jobs 100 years ago, and we weren't killing each other in masses. We were freed from slavery and didn't have a job. But we didn't want to kill ourselves. We were only hoping just to have enough so that the children could go to the bed without hunger pain. Pardon me. We know we were going to be hungry, but we didn't start killing each other. The bigger part of the problem is blind behavior. The bigger part of it is the bad state within. The society is much responsible for it because the media feeds lies about self and the external world. Anytime an African-American youth is told that the black man is God, you are rigging him to destroy self sooner or later. He may seem to be doing well for a while, but in time, he is going to become very destructive. The answer is to go back to the original Mother Nature motivation. This original motivation is for improvement, excellence, betterment, growth, and growth toward more and more efficiency. The simple call comes here, and it is not satisfied to be a simple call. It splits and combines with other calls so as to become productive and more situated to do bigger things. All of the time is growing, it is following a law of disciplined behavior. So when we become conscious, still tells us to want to do better. The new baby has a desire for decency, a desire for comfort. That comfort is to be clean. The baby is motivated, just like that call to become a more complex, a better performing, richer entity with bigger possibilities. So the new baby is not satisfied to always set or lie down. It wants to rise up. Eventually, it wants to stand up on its own feet. The child standing up for the first time is a feat of nature that makes you feel so happy. You share that child's victory. You see the fear on that child, but with the fear is the pride and the faith in self. Fear is doing the first time. The pride and the victory says, look, I did it. And the baby joins us in walking upright. From a simple call to a self-supporting individual, there is a motivation towards betterment. Original Mother Nature motivates its helps for better and greater performances. Life wants to do more and to do better. We need to call to excellence. Work for the society to be motivated by excellence. Don't worry about telling them, hey, you are drinking liquor. Do you think Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, went out and the first thing he told his drinking people was stop drinking? No. Our Prophet tolerated them drinking until he could tell them that God forbids them to drink. So the first thing that he gave them was a real perception of themselves and the external world. That is itself created a situation for them to be motivated towards excellence. He reconnected them to their original excellence. So the working poor and weak. Now, you are poor, we are poor, but at the same time, the poor in America is both poor and well off. By global income tables of statistics, very few of us are really poor. There are a very few of us who have nothing but poverty. We have television, beepers, $100 sneakers. That is what I call poor but big. One teenager will have a car and there will be two or three bicycles. But the family is poor and will get notice to move for not paying the rent. The phone bill will be off and sometimes the gas and the lights too. But clothing are everywhere. I call them the affluent poor. That is what America has, an affluent poor. Learn to respect money in our religion. Everything deserves a respect. If you get $10 in your hand, then you know that it is 10. Look at what you need today and spend that $10 wisely. Can manage the day without touching that 10, then do not touch it. Keep it 10 for tomorrow. And try to continue day by day behaving like that until you can save for tomorrow. I don't care how poor you are supposed to save something for tomorrow. Cut down your bills, move if you have to, into two rooms, or where you are now is too costly for you. Go where you can do better. Go down south, if necessary, where you can live cheaper. Before I let myself become a criminal and starved or see my family suffering, I would do exactly that. I would go to those extremes. But we don't have to go to those extremes. Start somewhere. Start by checking waste. Stop wasting. See the Quran on the fate of the waster. Sisters are a key factor for checking waste. Stop feeding your family everything that you can imagine. Stop catering wastefully to the family, eating habits. The people who are going to survive and will eventually end up being your landlords from amongst the poor or eventually will have that corner store in your neighborhood will be people with that determination and that discipline. They will sometimes come from the extreme poor, Asians, Haitians, and others. They will struggle and make sacrifices. They will have two or three families sharing three rooms, apartment, and some sleeping on the floor, helping each other, the babysitting for each other. There will be one working one shift and one working another, so that someone will always be in the house. They will do that and will eventually become your landlord. Then you will ask the newspaper reporter or seven on the side to come and see treatment. We have been here all this time in this country and don't have anything. But look at these people, how they are running their businesses in our neighborhoods. I'm not saying all newcomers are the struggling poor. Some of them do get help. They may get help from their people back home in the country of their birth. They will come over here with money and will invest in here. Some of them are favored by the State Department because our government feels we owe them something for what they lost in their relationship with the United States. The government is paying a debt, and I'm not saying all of our complaints are not worthwhile, but many of our complaints are self-degrading excuses for weakness and distrust in us and between us. Why not try philosophical approach? Just begin by saying we ought to discipline our spending habits, watch our money more, be willing to suffer a little to do better later. Search your faith to find a new perception of man in the external world that explains astounding progress, for nations past and present. During the 1994 annual Islamic Convention held in Washington, D.C., the Muslim Journal sponsored an exhibit covered the builder of the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The promotion of race and business, how the conflict is resolved. So we are thankful to Allah, we praise him, and we acknowledge that he alone is God. There is no partners with him. He manages creation alone. He needs no help from any. He exists free of his creation, depending on nothing from it. He is the Lord most merciful, who says that he creates us especially for his mercy. We give praise to him, and we thank him for the gifts to the world of the one who is called, the mercy to all of the worlds, Muhammad, the last prophet, messenger of Allah. We praise and the peace upon him, upon his descendants, and upon his companions all. I would like to read some sayings of the prophet as a great help to this presentation. When we know more about the prophet himself, it is easy for us to grasp and appreciate what is being given to us of Al-Islam, what is given to us from the best sources for Muslim, the Holy Quran, and the life of the prophet. The prayers and the peace be upon him. This booklet of Prophet Muhammad Hussein has the spelling of his name, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. It was the popular spelling for a long time. The Prophet name is spelled in different ways. The most unfamiliar way that I know of is the Turkish Muslim spelling, Mehmet. M-A-H-M-E-T. Yet the name of our prophet is pronounced the same regardless to how the spelling varies. It should be pronounced Muhammad. So this book saying of the prophet by Shadi Kudri with illustration by Pamela Howard reads, "It is better to sit alone than in the company with the bad. And it is better still to sit with the good than sit alone. It is better to speak to a seeker of knowledge than to remain silent. But silent is better than idle words. So serve Allah as you would if you could see him. Although you do not see him, he sees you. A Muslim who meets with others and shares their burden is better than one who lives a life of seclusion and contemplation. Allah does not look at your appearance or your possessions, but he looks at your heart and your deeds. The best richness is the richness of the soul. Keep yourselves far from envy, because it eats up and takes away from good action, like fire eats up and burns wood. When three persons are together, two of them must not whisper to each other without letting the third hear, because it would hurt the third person. The person is not a perfect Muslim who eats till he is full and leaves his neighbor hungry around him. Conduct yourself in this world as if you are here to stay forever. Prepare for eternity as if you are going to die tomorrow." I have just collected a few sayings from this small example of the sayings of the last prophet and the universal messenger Muhammad. The prayers and the peace be upon him. These who have never heard sayings of the prophet are getting acquainted with him now. I hope in the reading it will enable us to come to the conclusion that we do have sure positive self solutions for resolving conflicts of race and business. Racism is established in message, signaling concepts that go into the social conscious to kill it. They are lethal concepts, deadly concepts. The Satan inspired those concepts. The world has been progressing towards a situation for man to have race consciousness and race esteem without having the burden of racism. The Quran enlightenment recognizes the natural inheritance value of race and consciousness and racial esteem. I thank Allah that I have never been blown out into space from the reality of life. When you strive hard to please Allah in the world of the confused religious language, that confusion makes it very difficult for you to see the clear guidance of Allah. It is easy to slip into endless confusion and never find ourselves. I have been able to keep the reality of what is my life. I am keeping my mind in the Quran and Muhammad the Sunnah, but there are the many in Quran and Sunnah, and some perhaps better authorized authorities regarding it than I am. What distinguishes me in my own view is that I am also in my own reality. Therefore, in this regard, I see myself with a few, not many. Creation supported social logic. Race and ethnic groups are distinguished by language and by colors and by features. Of this, Allah, the dearest saying, says, these differences are signs. My color being black, and another man's color being white, and my nose and mouth being thick, and another man's being thin. Of these distinctions, Allah says, they are signs. Also, the differences in the language we speak is also signs. In our holy book, the Quran, we are told, Allah made us nations and tribes for us to acknowledge each other. Some translation reads, so that ye may know each other, cautioning that the Quranic message and the most honorable of you are the most regardful. Some translate this as the most God-fearing. Also, we are told that Allah gives us our design or our form, and made most excellent our form. This design or descriptive form it gives by God for all races. Quranic enlightenment brings us to understand that every race, every person, were created on the pattern of a full, complete human. That is to say that we all have this excellence in us as our potential and as a property of our creation. It is clearly given in the Quran, and that Allah made noble every child of Adam. Noble means giving respect and being worthy of honors. Noble implies the best bread and the best blood. Noble also means that not only that the person's worthy of honor, the things deserving of that, but a person of nobility is the ideal person in the refined mind of enlightened societies. Some societies believe that certain race colors have no nobility and can never have nobility, that they are doomed to always be inferior to others. The ancients are the most known for that ignorance. Thanks to Allah, the Lord Creator and the One Lord, civilization, education, and scientific information have worked along with good human sentiments to get rid of much of those ugly expressions, racist ideas. Further quoting the prophet, he says, Allah is good and accepts only good. A better translation is, Allah is good and does not accept other than good. I'm not giving anything that is unnecessary or a little worth. The word for good in Arabic also means goodness. Good and those things that qualify to be called useful by the best minds and the most decent people. Another saying from the prophet is, the Muslim is the mirror of his brother. Let us see how powerful that saying is. If you want the best mirror, then get the information of what your appearance is and how you look from a good Muslim. Don't run to the dead object, glass reflector. Two attributes introduces each of the 113th surah chapter of the Quran and appears within the text of the ninth chapter for a total of 114 surahs. Every surah of the Quran is ascended by these two attributes, which says, Allah is the merciful benefactor and the merciful redeemer. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, both attributes are having root in Rahima, or mercy. In order to construct the social behavior of creation, supported social logic, the Quran offers us clear and positive guidance seen in the social role and benefits of created mercy. The concept of man's being and what we want to look at now for a movement. According to most established religion, man had his beginning in paradise. As pictured in religion, paradise is a condition of bliss, not bothered by anything. Our religions disunite that condition as our beginning, that life's existence formed first in paradise. When something went wrong in our behavior, we were ordered to get down from that high state, to get down into the earth where we could have a place for all appetites. We are also told that in the earth is where we will reach the mark or miss it. Here on earth, we will live, die, and be buried. The Quranic quote is completed with Allah's word, and from the earth you will be raised up again. The Quranic clearly offers us the social benevolence of creation supported social logic. The last prophet said, who is not kind to our weak ones is not of us. This statement is a sign of Allah's mercy to the world. An understanding of the expression creation-supported social logic may come with an observation of the natural life while observing animal behavior towards their young. Human nature is touched by animal consideration for the weak. When we observe the virgin social life of animals on educational television, we may be drawn into the world to find ourselves admiring and applauding animal social behavior. I have watched the massive fire-fear tiger reach down and grab up its baby with frightening teeth without hurting it. The lion and the tiger reach down and grab up its baby with frightening teeth without hurting. How many of us present a morbid, benevolent picture in our treatment of our young or weak ones? The lion and the tiger can take their big paws and can bring down other massive beasts and with it pick up a pup or a chicken and hold it without causing it pain or scars. No kitten or pup runs to the welfare office or to the police department with a complaint of child abuse against the parent. The point of view and the connecting sentiment being addressed are promoted by Islamic teachings and are preserved in the Quran and in the life example of Allah's messenger, Muhammad, to achieve the desired moral idea, moral regulation, creation-supported social logic opposed as a holy medicine to say there is no inherent sin. It serves world society to be aware that this cultural indictment of man's nature by organized by this defective religion, the baby born to us comes here as it were from heaven. Our babies come into this world functionally and perceptually prepared to start a new chapter, a fresh record, a clean slate, another race, opportunity for our smaller units of family and for the family of man, another race for paradise, identifying somewhat with the critical who organized religion for its expressive promotion of blind obedience to the discredit of the creative worth and intelligence of the multitude of innocent population. I trust Allah most merciful to protect us from slipping and falling under the spell of worldly arts. I will bring forth of a style of expression or an appealing effect we aim for is sometimes our own self wicked, painful. I wish to never be noticed for having anything other than an Islamic concern for the premier cause of moral consistency on the part of religion. When one tries to gain a more mature appreciation for organized religion by faithful examining, it is to see its moral contribution to moral consistency to the pursuit to prejudices, regrets, and presence of poetic license it seemed betraying, overruling, and selling out man's premier cause of moral consistency, more so than any other explanation. The belief in moral consistency is the influence behind my making my religious concerns public. Moreover, my enthusiasm for living, identifying, and projecting religious interests is the product of my conviction that Islam is clearly the superior leader in this premier cause of man. There is no excuse to be merciless to the weak. It is a breach of promise in the moral pledge of man. The natural mother accepts her baby and gives her baby the milk of virgin nature created by Allah, the Lord, creator of everything. Cow's milk is nice. However, scientific reporting lists cow's milk under more fat, not suited as well as the infant case and of less value in the infant system. Mother's human milk has agreeable fat and a kinder sugar We are not to raise our children to have a taste for grease. The ease with each the substance goes down to the digestion does not make it good. Mother's human milk is scientifically preferred mainly for its more compatible consistency. On the human system, the mother is not growing her baby to become a bull or stroll around with its several hundreds of pounds in a reed fostering enclosure. Mothers of virgin human nature will not raise their children to live outdoors in the open, free air, unprotected by human conscious and culturally sound and proven traditions. Mothers have the virgin mother nature to answer the need of mother care for her child. Yet, in these times, many mothers are too burdened by commercial life circumstances to act on spiritual, moral, and mental impulses. Whatever the case may be in modern times, for the virtuous of mother nature and our women, at her birth into this world, every mother had her creation supported socially behavior benevolence. I have known mothers to be too sick themselves to be out of bed, bring up in the dead of night, caring for their little sick ones. These mothers themselves would have cold and fever, but that did not show in their treatment of their babies. The beauty of it all does not bloom fully for us except in the creation scheme of Allah's mercy. For that purpose, for his mercy, he, Allah, the Creator, created us. Quran is some situation living for a cause is more of a sacrifice, dying for it. This acknowledged death remains the ultimate sacrifice. Our mothers and also mothers under man in the scale of evolution are born having a creation-supported social benevolence to pay the ultimate price to save their children from trouble and death. It will help man to keep in mind the virtues of virgin life upon which the emergencies of civilization was possible. Most likely they would not have been the first image or shine fashion to claim of man's divinity had social been encouraged to keep the whole picture. We should want to caution our society against the temptation to drink from the strong wine of the seduced ego. In this presentation, reference is made to our families to awaken to religion-promoted social concepts and social values. Such recognition brings with it a remarkable promotion for man's religious concerns. It brings man to a higher appreciation of religion, of the divine revelation, as complementing and affirming rather than negating or deferring creation human nature. It is the ego of social evolved intellect that should be charged with the socially degenerative acts of imaging man with a capacity to poison love and escape and demote the endowment to man of the concept created God. The creation, divine justice for creation. The religion of the Quran informs that Allah, the only God, is the creator of everything, the giver of the nature to everything, and that Allah has built and clocked into nature divinely, giving love and caring regard for the little one. Some judgment is brutal, but divine judgment is never blind and merciless. To be redeemed by Allah is not to be treated unjust, merciful. Allah act of saving is never brutal. Man and the society suffers the degraded, the disregard for virgin nature and her perception for controlling dependence. The abuse of the little one by parents, mothers, and fathers in our private homes only become epidemic after an epidemic abuse of the department and weak population by the industrial powers. We will go on hoping and praying for mercy to reach our big and strong ones for a more human version of government and law to embrace creation-supported social logic is to gain renewed determination for a sober human behavior. Man, policy maker, cannot suffer fever, his own ignorance and brutal policy. Many of the modern legislators have not been any better than the ancient powers who provided for the worship of the golden calf or for the destruction of the sacred temple. As a symbol of oppressive rule, Pharaoh the oppressor had an amazing exaggeration of his own work when challenged and pressured to end the cruelty. Pharaoh's ego flared up to have him boast of himself being God. Pharaoh's defiance and might are so powerful, packed as a captivating piece of drama at every chance to be spared. Pharaoh hardened. Allah's mercy was extended to this oppressive ruler over and over again. Pharaoh was never denied the opportunity for a change of behavior. An oppressive, bullish, insisting to have it his way against the way of Allah has never affected Allah's mercy. Our commanders obviously do not feel comfortable enough with their might to risk sharing authority. Their effects are made mainly to hide and deny the merit of challenges. Hence Allah's mercy and grace, indicative and representative of Allah's incomparable self, Allah permits a bullish oppressor to take to the stage that will give the oppressor the world audience of the wise and the foolish. The foe is allowed freedom to delude himself in the world. Man is not prevented even putting before the world a bed for the throne of Allah. In the early life of man, virgin nature was of the influence to bring shining to repent and be redeemed. In our world today, the powerful influence of virgin nature is not enough for bringing man to repent sins against virgin nature. The state of moral life does not hinge on influence of wealth, education, or prosperity in the world, for they are at all times persons on all levels of society who fight corruption and never succumb to it. Peace be on the messenger. Prophet Abraham was known for his unbelishing character amongst his people. The prophet Moses earned his honorable department as a leader amongst the chief of Pharaoh, and the Quran, nothing less than the noble esteem is paid to the attribute to both the prophet John and the prophet Christ Jesus, like prophet Moses. Our prophet Muhammad earned his unequivocal department amongst the sons of the famed tribe, the Quraysh of the Arabs. We have been in error believing Allah takes up faith to wash away man's oppressive sins. Decency is rewarded. Sin is punished. Repentance opens the door to mercy. Salakallahu ladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. We thank you, our honorable listening audience. I was taking my time because I'm learning. I'm a student. And what I've given to you this evening is very important for you to digest. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.